Good morning, Tom. I guess you're in a little better mood than the last couple of Mondays.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely a different feeling when you win. We got off the field last night, and just to walk into the locker room and celebrate with the guys, you know, really after a tough couple weeks for us and you know, even battling, you know, a very good team last night under some tough conditions with their home stadium. It was pretty sweet.
Does your uniform need to be washed? I don't think you got roughed up very, very much last night.
No, we got great protection. You know, we've got great protection all year. You know, the strength of our offense is our offensive line. And, you know, the way those guys battle with Light and Logan and Danny Connolly stepped in for Cope when he got hurt. And Brian Waters, who's played phenomenal, and Seabass and Nate Solder. I mean, those guys, they put a lot in every week. And their coach, they got a great coach, Dante Scarnecchia, that works those guys, you know, every day. I mean, they work their tail off. And it really shows up every week because we rely on those guys for so many things. And the communication between myself and them on a down-by-down basis and their ability to perform, you know, with the entire gamut of the playbook, whether it's run, play action, screens, draws, traps, slip screens, we really ask those guys to do everything. So, you know, they really, they've done a great job all year.
Tom, when you get around to watching the film and you take a look at that scramble where you bought the time and you threw it to Gronkowski and it was eventually overruled, you're going to want to buy Matt Light a nice steak dinner or something. He saved your ass on two separate occasions on that scramble.
Well, yeah, he saved my ass many times over the years. So, you know, I'm going to add those to a very long list of moments that have been just like that. So, he's a great player, man. It's so great having him out there, and he's dependable, and he's tough, and, you know, he's everything you look for in a left tackle.
Any of those guys surprise you, Tom? We know what you think of Logan Mankins and Matt Light. I guess you didn't know Brian Waters till he got here, and you didn't know what kind of center Dan Connolly would be. But any of them, I mean, they've played great, but who took you by surprise with how well he's played?
Well, I think the way that Brian has stepped in to that role, and he's just a true professional. I mean, you see why a guy's been around for, I think this is his 12th year, 11th year.
Yeah.
You know, and played really at a high level. I mean, he studies his playbook constantly and goes over his blocking sheets. I mean, every time you see him in front of his locker in the cafeteria, he's studying, he's preparing. And it's just, you know, you want to try to show the young guys, look, guys, just look at him. Look what he's doing. You know, some guys get it and some guys don't. But, you know, Brian's a great example for all the young players of what it takes to be a professional. You know, and is undrafted at a very small college in North Texas and has really made the most of every opportunity that he's ever got. But it's because he's been prepared for it, and it's really a credit to him.
Hey, you know, I know you've toned down the rhetoric since you told us you hated the Jets. But is it fair to say that you really don't like them, that there's a little extra satisfaction going on the road and just tearing them apart the way you did last night?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're – look, we've played them five times now in the last, you know, 14 months basically,
right.
14 and a half months. So, I mean, we know them pretty much better than any team that we play. And it's been some very meaningful games, so – you know, it's like before you even get the scouting report last week, I'm like, okay, I know what we're doing. It's, you know, it's just, this is the Jets. This is what they are. These are the strengths. You know, these are the things that, you know, we can't play into. And they're very good. They make you earn every yard, I'll tell you that. They don't give you anything. And, you know, we find some ways to make some very good plays between, you know, the passing game and the run game. And we kept them off balance a little bit with their tempo, with our tempo there in the second half. But, you know, we got some defensive turnovers, which was huge for us. And, you know, when Rob intercepted that pass and jogged in the end zone, that was really, you know, that was icing on the cake. That was pretty sweet.
What's it like before the game? Did you play the disrespect card? Because we've been talking about how nobody picked you. I mean, nationally, locally, everybody thought, you know, you guys were reeling, you were struggling, they were rolling, you were on the road, that you weren't going to pull this one out. Do you feel like that you weren't genuinely disrespected before this game?
Well, it's you know, everyone kind of rides the waves, and both good and bad, and you have to. I mean, that's just – but I'd say this, the players in our locker room don't do that. And it happens every week in the NFL. It's like you look up at the scoreboard during the game or because we played on Sunday night, you know, we saw a lot of those games, you know, and it's like, God, how did they lose? Or, wow, they beat so-and-so. And it's just, you know, one team one week looks great, and then they play another team, and it's, you know, other than the Packers this year, I mean, every team is just, and the 49ers, you know, you really don't know what you're getting every week. And, I mean, it's only the ninth week of the year, ninth game for us, tenth game for some others, but there's still a lot of football left to be played. And, you know, every team is still going to make improvements. And some teams are just going to continue to, you know, just ride out the season and start thinking about next year. But, you know, we want to be one of those teams that really starts building and getting better every week. And I thought last night was a good step in the second half of the year. But obviously, you know, the week starts again today. And we got to move on to the next game and start getting prepared for a team that – we haven't played in a few years.
Tom, this may qualify as my moronic question of the interview, but a lot of people are asking it. Why not run the hurry up more often or all the time? You're so successful with it. Why not do it more?
Well, we do it. I mean, we do it in every game at some point. And sometimes, like we tried against Pittsburgh, and we got our butt kicked. So that didn't work too well.
Mm-hmm.
We tried it against Dallas, and it worked a little bit and didn't work some other times. Against the Giants, we used it a little bit. Didn't work very well. There's weeks when we use it. Yeah, obviously when it works, you go, wow, that was good. Let's stay with it.
Right.
When it doesn't, you go, what the hell are we doing that for? So a lot of it is just, a feel for the game and what we're doing. And last night it paid off for us.
Is it physically possible, and let's just say hypothetically, you come out of the locker room, you start the game, and you're in the hurry up right to start the game, and it's working very well. Is it physically possible to do it for an entire game?
Yeah, you could. I mean, the run and shoot, they did that.
Right.
The Colts do pretty much no-huddle the whole game. Look, some teams it works better against than others. Some teams it's more successful, huddling up. So, you know, we always are going to do what we think is best. Every week we try to set up a game plan that takes advantage of the things that, you know, we don't think they do very well. And last night, you know, it wasn't like we honestly didn't go into the game saying, man, we're going to do a whole lot of this no huddle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just happened that we got into the game in the second half. We changed the tempo a little bit, and it seemed to help us. So we stayed with it on occasion. Other times, you know, we huddled up, and we made some pretty important plays huddling up, too.
We spent the previous segment of the program before you called in trying to determine the four stars of the Patriots game in order. Try not to be your diplomatic self here and say it was a team effort. We hear the four nominations. Ninkovich, Carter, Gronkowski, or Tom Brady. Who would you name the star of the game in what order? Who would be the number one star? Don't be diplomatic now.
I can't pick one.
You
know me better than that. It's, football is the ultimate team sport. It's in order to win every week, you need every single guy. And I'm sure there's guys that played last night that a lot of our fans had never even heard of. You know, guys that were making tackles and plays, and they go, God, who's that guy? Well, I'd say every single guy who suited up for the game last night, you know, was a big part of the win. And, Andre can't do what he does without the work of Vince and without Rob on the other side rushing, inside guy Sean Ellis. Gronkowski can't do what he did without all those guys blocking for him and other guys running, you know, routes that in some ways get Rob open. So it's just, and Andre Andre was phenomenal. That was, 4.5 sacks, and that's awesome. But it's a team effort. It's a team game. And I think that's the reason why it's so fun to play the game, is because every week you have that, you know, when you win, you celebrate with, you know, 52 other guys and coaches that are just as happy as you are, and that's a pretty cool experience.
John wasn't being completely honest with you, Tom. The exercise was pick three stars of the game, and he picked Ninkovich, Carter, and Gronkowski.
Yeah, I eliminated you.
I'd agree with that.
He threw the QB right out of this.
I'd agree with that.
He wins all the time. Hey, Are you even aware of the record you set with Belichick? I mean, I know you don't spend a lot of time, you know, with personal records. This is not really personal. It's you and Coach, 116 wins, topping Don Shula.
117 now.
I mean, yeah, topping Don Shula and Dan Marino. Do you ever stop and think about where you'd be without Belichick?
Well, I appreciate every day showing up to work and having him as our head coach. I mean, there's no coach I'd ever want to play for, and I just, you know, he gets us prepared every week, and I think as a player, when you go in, you show up, and he says, these are the things we need to do, and this is just do your job, and there's so many things that I've learned from him over the years about mental toughness, and his ability to stay really even keeled, you know, through the wins and the losses. I remember, you know, the year that we went undefeated, you would never thought we were undefeated. You would thought we were 0-16 the way that he coached us. And, you know, the last 2 weeks have been rough, but you know what? He never lost faith in us or confidence in what we were doing. He just said, look, we just got to do better. So, you know, he doesn't ride those highs and lows, and he comes in every week with a goal in mind. And I think all of us, all the guys who play for him really appreciate that and appreciate his consistency, and appreciate his, you know, the way that he listens to the team as well. You know, it's not like, I mean, he ultimately he's the one that makes the decisions, but at the same time, he takes a lot of input from a lot of people too. So, you know, everyone feels like they're a part of it, and that's, you know, it's very special for it to be like that.
Second quarter, Tom, what happened on the premature snap that backed you up to the end zone and eventually led to the safety?
We had a miscommunication, you know, with you know, when the ball was being snapped. So, you know, I wasn't ready for it. And so it was just one of those things that happened, and I'm glad we got on the ball. Saved them from getting on the ball.
Will Gronkowski hear it from the coach or somebody about the in-the-face spike that cost 15 yards?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he will. I didn't see it. I mean, he spikes it every time he scores, so I don't know if that's, you know, flagrant or what, you know.
Don't you spike it every time you score?
Yeah, which happens like once every 3 years. But I mean, when Gronk scores, is it like 8 touchdowns a year? He spikes the ball and he deflates the ball, which I love that because I like, you know, the deflated ball. But I feel bad for that football because he puts everything he can into those spikes.
Were you paying attention when your counterpart called a timeout with 1:24 left, giving you the chance to have that end of the first half scoring drive?
Yeah, you know, I saw, I knew the clock was running, and he called it pretty quickly, so I thought we were fortunate there. I didn't know if we called it because, you know, with 24 seconds left on the play clock, or whatever it was, I don't know, 18 or something like that, 21.
20 seconds, I believe.
20 seconds left. Yep. Yeah, I thought we called it, and then when I heard he called it, that was good news.
Hey, lost in all the heroic performances, all the ones we just mentioned with, you know, Gronk and Carter and Ninkovich, that last drive to go down for the touchdown before Ninkovich's interception, Woodhead came up big with a little ground and pound of his own. I guess it's a mini ground and pound with Woodhead. Three or four important rushes to keep that drive alive.
Yeah, three or four very good runs. You know, he had a great game for us. You know, he's been doing it since he got here last year, taking over for when Kevin got injured. And he's a big part of our offense. He's very dynamic back there for us, and he provides you know, he does stuff in the run game and the pass game, and then having the luxury of having Kevin back there too is awesome because, you know, Kevin is, you know, probably two or three most dependable players I've ever played with, along with probably Troy and Wes. And so, you know, those guys are just, you know, everything that Kevin says is important to us as a team, as an offense. He, you know, he's the longest tenured player on the roster. And he takes that role very seriously. You know, he's always got words of encouragement for the younger guys. And then when he gets his opportunity, he steps in there, he does what he always does and what he's done for this team for, you know, his 13th year. So it's great having him back too.
And when Tom, if you're walking through the locker room today or tomorrow, Wednesday, and or the trainer's room, the lunch room, and you see Jeff Tarpinian or Sterling Moore, do you know them? Do you know their names?
I do. I do. I'm not sure you guys.
Okay, how about number 90, the linebacker?
Nico Kudavides.
Ooh, he's got it.
Got it.
I like Nico. Nico's a pal, so I know. Nico played for the Bucs, and he in Seattle, and he was with us during training camp. So he's a good player, and I'm glad he's back. When I saw him walking in the door last week, I was pretty excited to see him back.
I just learned Ahedabu, and now I got to learn Cootie Video or whatever his name is.
Yeah, I know.
Does it get confusing? I mean,
it does. You know, and it happens every year. I remember last year, toward the end of the season, we had some injuries, and we were bringing guys in, and I saw a guy get a sack. It was Eric Moore, and I looked over. I was like, who's that? and it's just it happens because. On defense, too, especially, you're not paying attention to those guys because pretty much the only time I see those guys during the day is our 8 o'clock meeting, squad meeting, and then at practice. So, if they sign a guy or someone's hurt, I don't know. I mean, I don't pay attention to that. So, when there's a new player that's in there, you'll see him at practice, but there's no numbers or, there's no names on the back of the jersey in practice. So, you see him out there for the game, you hear their name called, and you're going, who the hell was that, but that's just part of the NFL. I mean, every team deals with injuries, and we had a lot of guys that stepped in last night and filled some pretty important roles, so that was good to see.
I know you're not going to shed any sympathy tears for the New York Jets, but while you have 7 days to prepare to play Kansas City at home Monday night, they have 3 days to fly to Denver and play the Broncos Thursday night. Does that make you grimace when you think about suiting it up and strapping it on again on a Thursday after playing Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough turnaround, obviously, but both teams are doing it. And the thing about that, I'd say, is that if you do win that game, it's a great advantage going forward. So, I love those Thursday games when we've had a chance to play them because we have won. So, you got basically like a second bye week.
Right.
Moving forward, sometimes you're off Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and it gives everyone a chance to kind of get, refocus. So, if you lose, it's a different story. But, if you win, you can really it's a positive for your team.
Well, that sort of leads us to the question of the week, brought to you by Auto Trader. Now compare brand spanking new cars and special offers side-by-side at autotrader.com. Tom, they want to know, what's the reaction in the locker room and the value when Bill says, after last night's game, see you guys on Wednesday?
Yeah, well, I tell you, it's pretty exciting. I mean, we've had it doesn't happen very often. I mean, some teams that you watch like the NFL Channel and Week One, I saw like the Eagles won, and Andy Reid's like, all right, see you Wednesday, and I like shook my head like, really, But for us, it just gives you a few extra hours on a Monday or a Tuesday, and it's nice for the players. So, it's. For the quarterback, I head in on Monday and Tuesday, but it's just it's more on my schedule than on the team schedule. So it's nice for everybody to get refreshed a little bit. It's pretty.
How many other guys head in on days off?
Quite a few. Yeah, most of the guys will at some point. I'd say everybody at some point goes in to work out or get treatment or just, start getting prepared for next week. It's not like literally guys show up on Wednesday morning. Not on this team, at least. Maybe some other teams, but our team, it's never been like that.
Hey, I almost forgot. You want to address the Tom Brady's arm is sore rumors and speculation by everybody?
No, I'm feeling good. I mean, it's a football season, so, 1 week you feel good, and next week you're a little banged up, but I'm feeling good.
All right. Enjoy the week. We'll talk to you next week, Tom.
All right, guys. Thank you.